You're listening and maybe watching Peak to Pit, Allie Peak, TJ Pittinger. Game week for some of us, but college football will be back. Game day will be on our TVs at 9 a.m. Saturday morning. We have literally officially made it. It is game week, TJ.
All the way back. I like this week zero matchup. I like this week zero matchup for a lot of reasons. I had to kind of cut it short last week.
Do you want
to
end that streak?
Well,
I love how LSU was scheduled for week one. So then Florida State was like, we're not continuing that streak. Watch us schedule a week zero.
I don't know when this game was scheduled, to tell you the truth. But I like
have
the week
a feeling
zero.
Duquesne's availability was probably a little bit more open than LSU's was. So if I had to guess, yeah, it was scheduled second.
Oh, for sure. Yeah. But I am interested when, you know, like when that was scheduled, but I like that. I think, you know, getting to play Duquesne is huge. You know, when was the last time Florida played somebody? When was the last time Florida beat somebody good in an opener?
Michigan 2 years ago.
Michigan wasn't very good that year.
Oh, please.
They were good.
No, come on. That's a big time matchup for a week one game.
It is, but
there
I'm just saying,
no way around that. We're talking about Michigan, who a year later was in the playoffs.
It was a big matchup. I agree. Michigan that year wasn't very good. So
there's 0% chance they were terrible and then in the playoffs the next year. That's not generally how college football works. Not often. Michigan beating Florida is a big opening weekend game. It's a big opening weekend win. There is no way to spin that other than that's what it is.
It's a huge win. I'm just saying, was the last time Florida beat somebody good?
And I said 2 years ago.
Michigan was a good team that year.
I'm going to look at Michigan's record because I have no idea. I have four children and I don't know what happened a year ago for the most part.
Was that 2019 to open the year?
I think
no,
so.
No, it was. So 2017, Michigan went 8-5. Yeah, I mean 7-5 record. So they weren't good by any means, and then they won their bowl game. So yeah, I mean, or no, I'm sorry, they went 8-4 in
2017 is when we lost to them in the bowl game. So it would have been the next year, 2018. Yeah. That
no, I've got is September 2nd,
2017. And they went 10-3.
September 2nd, 2017 was the game.
All right. So what am I looking at? December 29th, 2018. Okay. So that was, I'm thinking of the bowl game, not the.
Yeah. Which was a big bowl.
I mean, that was
yeah.
Big, that was
Michigan.
Big bowl.
Michigan wasn't very good in 2017. But anyway, yeah. I mean, all this said, big win, but not against a good team.
We talked last week about how truly we prefer to open against a cupcake anyway. It's
exactly,
a good
that
way
was
to
my
tune
whole
up
point.
Your team.
I know you
like
got,
that's. We talked about that before. I know that from a fan perspective, it's fun to open with these big names. And we get some teasing in the SEC a lot of the time about opening against a team like, you know, the Sisters of the Blind or something like that. But truly, from a team perspective, you want to open against the Duquesne. You want to open against, you know, Southeast Washington State, you know, whatever, because that's your practice. You can't simulate game reps fully in practice. So it's hard to know exactly what you've got until it's on the field. And I'd rather find out exactly what I got in a tune-up game than in, you know, a big time matchup. Like it is much more stressful to go into a Utah top 10 matchup week one than it is to go into a Duquesne and kind of see what you have and let people get their feet wet.
I completely agree. Yeah, that was gonna be my whole point. Like
right.
My whole point was gonna be that Florida has typically scheduled much, much easier to open seasons, which I think is smart.
Right.
Like that's not a shot at Florida. I think that's smart.
Well,
Florida State's lost six in a row.
With their conference, we always talk about this, that there's not really a need for additional strength, but there's sure as heck not a need for additional strength at the beginning of the season. And again, it's fun. It's fun, right? Utah, Florida, week one is fun. It's fun to watch something like an LSU, Florida State, if it's not your team, right? People aren't tuning into Duquesne, Florida State. Well, maybe they are because it's the only football on and they're pumped that it's back. But in general, Florida State fans are watching that game, not necessarily the country. The country is tuning in to watch a matchup like LSU, FSU. So from that point of view, it's fun, right? For those big matchups, but it's needlessly stressful and it's not a great way for your team to start.
I'm such an idiot. 2017, you guys lost to Michigan.
I know. That's what I was just saying when I Googled it. I realized we lost to that one. It's the bowl game. We blew them out the year after. Yeah, that's what I was saying.
So that backs it up even more that, like, truly, when was the last time Florida beat a good team to open the year? I mean, I guess, you know, Miami in 2019, but they finished with six losses. So, like, it's, you know, I like Florida's strategy.
They have recently had some bigger name opening games, win or lose, some bigger game opening games. And I think that that's because they've gotten so much
Michigan
about not having a big opening game. But I honestly don't really love it. I don't love the
Michigan one, the Miami one, if you want to count the Miami one, and that's it. Like, outside of that, they're, you know, I'm looking at,
I think the last time was honestly with Syracuse in like 1984.
Yeah, I think the last time, and this will change next year, but I think the last time Florida left the state for a true out-of-conference road game was 1991 against Syracuse.
I mean, I don't know that I really think – Michigan going to Texas, I get that it's a neutral site game, but that's also – that's a road game. That's a road game. Your entire team picks up –
Jacksonville road game?
For an opener. No, I don't think Jacksonville's really a road game.
Yeah, I don't think neutral side. I think when you think about road games, and I agree, it's you had to go on
the travel distance.
You had to go on the road to get there, but you also understand that a true road game is tougher than a neutral site game.
I think in terms of crowd, it can be absolutely.
Yeah.
But
I mean, you'd much rather play Michigan in Texas than in the Big House.
Yeah, I think that's true, but it's also not having your opener in the swamp.
Right. And that's what I'm saying. Like, Florida, and I don't think, but this isn't even just about openers. Florida hasn't gone outside of the state of Florida for a true road game since 91.
Are you talking out of conference?
Out of conference.
Out of conference. Well, that's kind of crazy. Coming up, they go to Utah.
Right.
First one here. They have Notre Dame. They're going, I mean, they've got some big
I hate
games.
The Notre Dame one because it's like so far out.
So far away. I know.
The scheduling is stupid.
I hate that they schedule that far out, but I am excited. I mean, that's a cool matchup. Regardless, I really don't like continuing to agree with you. So let's move on to a topic we can argue about.
So Florida State's going to win so Duquesne's not good, right? I think we lost to Jacksonville State last year. Right. I think they would beat Duquesne fairly easily. We had a guy on our podcast named Colby Dant, and he does a lot of sports handicapping, and he was pretty confident that Jacksonville State would handle Duquesne. Okay. I think UMass might be a little bit better than Duquesne. And Florida State did show at the end of the year that they could blow out a bad team and beating UMass 59-0. As somebody that doesn't know anything about Duquesne, how much does Florida State need to win this game by? For you to think, like, okay, they've got it together. But like, you've got to beat bad teams by a lot. So
I mean, I think you
got
to win by 30 points.
Okay, I'm with that.
I
had a lot of people messaging me today that they think it needs to be more, like 40 or 50.
You know, here's where I struggle with that. I feel that, right? Like, I always want more points. I am totally of the Spurrier mindset that, like, my job's to score, your job's to stop me, not taking my foot off the brakes. But the flip side of that is this is a great opportunity for Florida State to see what they have depth-wise. And are your starters going to blow the doors off them? More than likely, yes. But is it better to win by a couple less touchdowns and get third string guys who are only going to have the opportunity to get in the game if there's an injury or two in front of them during the conference games? Like, yeah, real game experience cannot be created. We just talked about this. Like, so I think from a football perspective, it's better to get multiple depth experience and then see where that leaves you, then keep your starters in and blow the doors off them.
So I don't disagree with that. And I think for health reasons, Florida State's got a couple of guys banged up on the offensive line.
Right.
And certainly, you know, both of these teams, Florida and Florida State, are only going to go as far as there. Is that a pumpkin beer?
You know it.
Very on brand.
My shirt says, "Oh my gourd, I love fall."
Way too early for this.
No, it's football week.
I got a good joke to tell you after this, but I agree with that in concept, and you don't want to get somebody injured.
You don't want to get somebody injured, and you want the experience.
But
fans aren't rational.
Should the second and third string guys that have D1 scholarships be better than the first string guys that are in the FCS level?
Yeah, in theory, yeah.
So I don't think
but that doesn't that, mean they have game they, experience. I that doesn't mean
yeah, but neither does the pain. This is week zero.
I get it. But there is a difference. Even if you talent-wise are way better than the guy you're going up against, experience matters. And so getting that second and third string guy some reps, even if the talent they're going against is, you know, subpar, mistakes could be made. One, it's not going to be as good a football as the ones. Otherwise, they'd be the ones, right? Like, maybe there's not a huge drop-off, but more than likely, there's some sort of drop-off because that's why you have a depth chart. So I still think that there's value in getting those guys game rep experience.
No, I agree with that. I think there will be a drop off from Florida State's ones to twos to threes, right. But I'm thinking that Florida State's twos and threes. You're
saying they should blow them out regardless of which role.
Should the twos not? I mean, if you've got twos and they're all D1 guys too, shouldn't they beat the? So that's where I think the fan base.
But your twos and threes. Let's say it's a threes guy who's new. He's a freshman. He doesn't know the whole playbook, so he doesn't necessarily. He's not picking up on the reads like he's supposed to, or he's missing the call coming in from the sideline or something like that. Is he more talented? Yeah, but the guy across the line from him has game experience and knows what's going to happen and how fast it's going to happen. And there's something to be said for that. Again, definitely not saying they're going to win, but I think that there's a possibility that you score less points by letting second and third string guys win or play, but that's okay. You're still going to win.
I think so. I think the fan base will be upset with anything less than 30, and I think they really want like 40 plus.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think they also really don't. You only have so many opportunities to blow a team out. I'm sorry, 100%. not to blow a team out.
We're
to
now shut becoming a team out. Billboard material for Duquesne, by the way.
Yeah, if they're listening to this podcast, they got bigger problems. You only get so many. Yeah, I wonder what Pete DePitt's saying about our matchup with FSU here. You only have so many chances to shut a team out, and when you're this much better, like yeah. you need to try and take advantage of
yeah.
Of those. Like last year you beat UMass 59-3, which is certainly better than beating or losing to Jacksonville State.
Sure.
I think you need to attempt to shut this team out. Cause if you're given, I mean, if you're letting an FCS team score on you,
how like good do you think Florida FCS State is team. Though? Like, this is not like, I know you think that they're improvement, but I don't know about Duquesne, but
yeah, I predicted him at 7-5 last week, so nothing crazy, right? Same, so roughly yeah, the same I'm as just, you. I just think Duquesne's that bad.
Like, it's not. I mean, I guess we're gonna see, but I think Florida State fans, you get a 30-point win and you get some experience. That's a good day.
I think if you let Duquesne score more than two times, it's a problem defensively.
Yeah.
Because yeah, if Duquesne scores true. Three times in this game, that means yeah. LSU scoring at least six or seven times, right?
Oh, 100%. So
if Duquesne kicks 100%. A field goal because they, you know, Duquesne breaks a long run. Mm-hmm. Miss tackle, or you have a busted coverage, and they kick a field goal or something. They score 3 points, no big deal. Maybe you have a busted coverage, you go up a touchdown or something stupid. Right. That's fine.
I think they can't drive on you multiple times. In the fourth quarter, though, too, because that kind of stuff happening in the first quarter is not a great sign, in my opinion. Those are your ones. That is, those are mental mistakes or things that just shouldn't happen against Duquesne. Those happen in the fourth quarter with your third quarter guys in, or third string guys in. Who cares? It's okay.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, if you're up 35-0 at the half and everybody comes out and then your third string is a touchdown late, then some people will complain, but they're not probably warranted. I saw a scoreline projection that had it 37 to 3.
I feel like that's a pretty on. Yeah. Like, that's what I'm picturing in my head, something like that.
You probably – okay, so, like, if that's the case, like, your first string's probably going to get five possessions or more. So, like, that would be them scoring every single time and your second string never scoring.
Right.
Your second string should go score a couple of times, right? So, I'd probably put it up in, like, the 45-ish range is really what you need to hit. But we'll see. It's supposed to be rainy. Supposed to be nasty. Weather's going to be terrible. That could impact things, right? Like, if you win this game 35-0 because –
it's going to make it more conservative, more than likely.
Right. You don't want to get guys hurt.
Run the ball, kill the clock. Yeah.
Anyway, anything exciting going on at UF? this week.
I think everybody's still on the high from the stadium being opened. Last Friday, they invited former players and their families to come up and tour the facility. We ended up not going because we were taking our daughters to Disney to celebrate their 8th birthday, which was Saturday. So didn't get to participate in that, but really excited to see the new facility helping, you know, recruiting-wise. Recruiting is going great for Florida, but nothing, you know, super new or exciting. They did get three somewhat banged up guys back this week, including Ricky Pierce. I believe Pearsall is how you say his last name. He earned number one, which I have kind of an issue with, but we'll talk about that in a minute. He is a wide receiver.
They just don't give out that number one like they used to.
Yeah, I think that's my issue with it. I don't think anybody that's just transferring in, it concerns me that someone just transferring in, so having one spring, could earn one. Now, I get that it's different. It maybe if this coaching staff had been there for a couple of years, maybe that wouldn't have happened because they would have more data to go on in terms of who's consistently been a leader. So maybe that's why this happened, because this new staff came in, everybody got a clean slate, and he worked his butt off, and that's who they gave it to him. But I kind of don't love the idea of one going to somebody who just showed up. I think it's kind of strange. But anyway, he had an injury. He's back. That's a good thing for Florida. If you win the number one, you're a wide receiver. I would assume that means that you're going to be playing a lot. So that's a positive thing. And, you know, Utah's in a week.
Excited for that one. We're doing a watch party in New Orleans for that. Just the Saturday football. I think Oregon plays Georgia right before. Yeah. Should be a fun one. Dan Lanning against his own team, his old team. I expect Georgia to win that, but we'll talk more about the national slate in a moment. But then, you know, Florida Utah is a fun one at night that certainly all of the FSU fans will be tuned in and interested in. I think a lot of people will see how, you know, Napier starts off his time there. I've seen a lot of people. So from what I've seen, I think a lot of people – okay, I want to get your take on this. Then we'll talk a little bit of conference realignment and get out of here. I think a lot of people are very high on Billy Napier, but they're very low on UF this season.
Yeah.
I think people
– I think that's a fair statement.
From a national perspective – and I know you were higher than this. I was even slightly higher than this. But from a national perspective, a lot of people think that Billy Napier is the right coach.
Yeah, that it's going just to a rebuild.
Turn around. But – this is a 6-6 team, and this is going to be a 6-6 season. Now, could Florida go 7-5? Could they get to 8-4? Could things really, really break the right way and get to 9-3? I think so.
Yeah.
Could things break the wrong way?
The predictions that I've seen this last week are crazy. I mean, the same writers that are predicting Florida to go like 6-6 are predicting Kentucky to go 11-1. And I don't look at Kentucky's schedule and see how they get to 11-1. And I don't really look at Florida's and see how they get to 6-6. I think that that's a worst case scenario for Florida. Clearly it's the best case scenarios for Kentucky. But I don't agree with the national perspective that it's as big a rebuild as these predictions make it seem that it is. This is a team that went to a New Year's Six game 3 years in a row before last season. Like, this is not a program that just had to completely clean house of talent and had nothing. And I feel like people act like Dan Mullen, you know, didn't care to recruit or was a terrible recruiter, but his classes were not bad. Are they Florida level acceptable? No. And that's not, you know, but it's about where Napier's class is currently. I think Napier's class will finish better than any of Mullen's classes finished. And I think that that's an impressive. And I do think that he appears to be the right guy right now. I just don't think it's as big a rebuild as it's getting branded as.
Yeah, I think we talked about this last year. I mean, Florida did finish under 500 last year. And Anthony Richardson had really great plays, but he also had
only played 33 times, 33 plays the entire.
So it's like, show me on the field. Right. And then, you know, Florida's top two pass catching targets, top two touchdown leaders are no longer on the team. Pierce is in the NFL.
Yeah.
And I think there's some concerns around the defense like there have been for the last few years. And so could things break the right way? And if Anthony Richardson plays every snap of every game, minus, you know, the blowouts or whatever.
Right.
Could things break the right way for Florida? I think so.
Yeah.
I think that we've not seen Anthony Richardson stay healthy. Even
well, that's limited, the legit, even in, right? I think
even,
that
even in limited duty, he's not stayed healthy. And then in that limited duty, he's been very hot and cold.
So Napier kind of alluded to this week in his press conferences and said basically, like, everyone is really quick to crown Anthony Richardson this superstar. And he said, but in the reality is he's played 33 plays or thrown 33 passes or whatever the stat was. And he's like, so essentially what he's saying is he is an unproven commodity, which is exactly right. I think we have seen flashes of brilliance. I think that his size and weight and measurements tell us he could be a freak athlete. I think there's just a lot of unknown. And when you've got Florida's backup quarterback, Jack Miller, who transferred in from Ohio State, he's out with thumb surgery. There's nobody with any game experience at all behind him. So Florida's season very much hinges on whether Anthony Richardson, who did have trouble staying healthy last year, can be the guy. And this is also an Anthony Richardson that we knew had a hard time learning the playbook 2 years ago.
And yeah, I have a hard time thinking, for all of Dan's faults that the fan base wants to get on, I have a hard time thinking that anyone is going to develop quarterbacks better than he will.
Correct. And I think that anybody, any rational fan understands that.
Rational fan is a, what do you call it? Like an oxymoron.
An oxymoron. So, I mean, it is.
Yeah. So I also think that it's not only Anthony, it's who he's throwing to, right? Ricky's a little bit banged up. You lost a lot of production, and I think Florida was happy to lose some of those guys, but lost a lot of production as well. And I think that
sure. I mean, and don't get me wrong. I think Anthony Richardson could be awesome. And obviously as a Gator fan, I hope that that is the case, but he is a pretty unproven commodity at this moment. And Florida's success or failure this year will almost single-handedly ride on his own success or failure. Because there's no other option, right? Yeah. Like, this is,
I mean, it's the same thing for FSU. You know, if Jordan Travis goes down, it's the same situation. Hey, I want to give a quick shout out to Greg Brunt and the folks over at Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Greg hit me up today and said, hey, I want to jump on board with Peak to Pit. And so we appreciate Greg. Anything you guys need as far as like home insurance, car insurance, boat insurance, motorcycle insurance, if you have a trailer, like whatever you need insured, Greg can take care of you. Give him a call today. I personally use Greg for both homeowners insurance and both of my cars. You can call him at 954-589-2204. He can service anywhere in the state of Florida. His big tagline has always been from Tallahassee to the Keys or from the Panhandle to the Keys. He can get you taken care of. Call Greg Brunt, Brunt Insurance, 954-589-2204. Tell him you heard about him on Peak to Pit. See if he can save you some money. If he can't save you money, just stick with who you've got. But if he can save you a little bit of money, give him a call. He'll probably talk football with you for like 20 minutes and then get started. So, make sure you have a little bit of time to chat about football. Greg, we appreciate your support.
Who does Greg root for?
Greg's a big Gator fan.
He's a big Gator fan.
I'm sure he'll be in the swamp in a week.
Good to hear. I love it when we get more people to team up against you.
I can take it. After the Jacksonville State game last year, I'm completely numb, so it doesn't even hurt anymore. You mentioned Kentucky's schedule. I did look up their schedule really quickly, though. Mm-hmm. Check this out. So they play Florida early. I think we both talked about how that could be a coin flip. That could go either way, right?
Yeah.
If they get a win against Florida, they're going to start 4-0 because they play Miami of Ohio, Youngstown State, and Northern Illinois. Right.
Okay.
They're gonna start 4-0 if they can get the win against Florida.
Okay.
Next up, they have Ole Miss.
Right.
I think that game could go either way.
It could.
Then they have South Carolina and Mississippi State. They're gonna win both those. They're actually both at home. I'd like Kentucky in both those if they stay healthy. Then they have Tennessee, an either way game, right? That could go coin flip either way. Then they have Missouri, Vanderbilt, Georgia. They'll lose to Georgia. And that game is late in November. At Kentucky, I still have Georgia winning it, and then they have Louisville. They have their rivalry game at home, which I think they win that too. So to me, they've got 8 games that I think it would be a surprise if they lost. Mm-hmm. And then I look at Ole Miss, Tennessee, and Florida as toss-ups, mm-hmm. right? Say they go 2-1 in those three games.
Yeah.
Lose to Georgia, they're 10-2. So they go 1-2 in those two games. So they drop to Florida and drop to Tennessee, but beat Ole Miss.
Yeah.
They 9-3. So I do think Kentucky will have a good year. Now, if,
you know, I think 11-1 would be wild.
It'd be pretty remarkable. You know, they need to go, to me, they need to go 3-0 in those toss-up games.
Right.
They'd be 10-0 going to that Georgia game. That would be game day if that was the case.
Oh, of course. For sure it would.
The only way I really see them beating Georgia is if the wheels are to come off at UGA. And I just don't. I like their quarterback. I think Will's a good guy, good quarterback. I think he'll have a lot of success. I don't think they can beat Georgia's defense. I think that we'll talk about that game more as it gets closer. Are you definitely going to that game? Do you know yet?
I am.
I hate you. Try to get together and you just leave town. I think that game could be really, really high scoring. Just because Florida's defense definitely worries me this year, as it has worried Florida fans for the last half a decade, you know, for a while. So
I wouldn't say half a decade, but
yeah, probably just like 3 or 4 years.
I was gonna say less, 2 to 3, potentially 2, probably.
Yeah, definitely last 2. Yeah, they were pretty good before that. And then all of a sudden Grantham forgot how to
They come. Were, truly, they were good, and Florida's offense was terrible. So it was it's a wild thing to watch last season and the second half of the season before the wheels fall off the defense, because that's always been the staple. No matter what the offense has been able to pull off or not, Florida's always had an incredible defense. But
so he could put up some points in that game. That game could be a lot of fun, though. High scoring.
It's going to be fun.
So, but yeah, Kentucky could have a good year. I say 8-4 is their worst case scenario.
I mean, I think 9-3 is the ceiling. So we shall see.
I'll buy that, but I don't think they're going to lose more than 4.
Yeah, probably not.
They'd have to drop.
I just think 11-1 is ridiculous, and there's a huge difference between 9-3 and 11-1, in my opinion.
Yeah, it takes almost, you know, obviously near
everything has to go their way for that to be the case.
I'm telling you though, if they start 4-0, they get that win in the swamp.
They're not going to get that one in the swamp.
Didn't you have Florida losing that game?
No, Kentucky, Tennessee. I put it as a close loss. Not
that's right. You guys starting 2-0. So anyway, going back to Florida's schedule, I think I can. So yeah, Florida at 6-6 to me is unlikely, but it definitely is possible. You're just basically losing more coin flips than you win, right?
I just don't think there's as many coin flips on the schedule as you think there is. Honestly, the talent level exists, and I think that the coaching A&M they're getting is good. So
I think we think A&M and Georgia are losses.
I think so.
Okay. Coin flips to me are Utah, Kentucky, Tennessee, LSU.
LSU and Tennessee are much more coin flips in my mind than Utah and Kentucky are. And I mean we'll see. Change that. We'll have a big, you know, Saturday will tell us, next Saturday will tell us a lot quickly.
Florida's a 3-point favorite against Utah and like a 4-point favorite against Kentucky. So I mean, that's pretty close.
I think it moved to a 2.5.
So getting even closer. Mm-hmm. Is South Carolina a coin flip?
I don't think so.
And then Florida State, who is currently listed as a favorite in that game.
Oh, I don't think Florida State's a coin flip. Don't take this the wrong way, but I don't think that game's close.
Oh, Vegas is getting it wrong there, according to Allie.
Yeah.
Our back-to-back. I will say you have finished in the top two of our back-to-back picks in the last 2 years, so you may know what you're talking about there with Vegas being wrong on that one. So to me, there, even if you took out South Carolina and you took out Florida State, you have 4 coin flips in Utah, Kentucky, Tennessee, and LSU, right?
Well, that doesn't get you to 6-6, though, which is my point. Yeah, I don't think 6-6.
Those 4 plus your 2 losses are 6-6.
Oh, well.
Like if you drop your coin flip.
I don't think all 4 of those are coin flips.
What's a coin flip to you? How close do you have to be?
Tennessee and LSU are coin flips to me. And then I think they lose. And I have us as losing to Tennessee in that coin flip. So going 1-1.
So Utah and Kentucky are like, sure, they're not coin flips, they're sure things.
Well, nothing's a sure thing, but I think Florida should win both of those games. I don't think that's a game where it's like, oh gosh, I don't know. We don't know what's going to happen going in. I think Florida should win those games. And if they don't, it is disappointing. I think with Tennessee and LSU, it is a coin flip. So do you want to win them? Yes. But are you, is it necessarily a disappointment if you don't? No. And I think that we expect Florida loses to Texas A&M and Florida loses to Georgia. If you win, you're super happy, but you are not expecting to win those games. I think when I say coin flip, I'm thinking what the reaction is after that game happens. The sky is not falling if Florida loses to Tennessee or LSU. I think Gator fans do freak out.
The sky's falling if you guys lose falling. To Utah?
If they lose to Utah or Kentucky. I think so. I think so.
I think with how irrational Florida fans are, maybe mm-hmm. that's the case. But I mean, you're losing to a top seven team in the country.
Right. I mean, I know. I know all those things.
I don't think Florida should
expect to win those two and will be disappointed if they do not.
Yeah, I think that's ridiculous if the sky is falling after losing to a top seven team in the country.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way.
I mean, do you agree with? I mean, do you think the sky is falling after losing to Utah?
I don't think the sky is falling no matter what happens.
This team lost to UCF last year.
But I do think that Florida will beat Utah. I think that Florida should beat Utah. The sky will not be falling for me if Florida does not beat Utah. But I don't know that you could say the same for other members of the fan base. Honest to God, if Florida goes 6-6 this year, the sky is not falling for me. And you commit to a new coach, you commit to letting him build things the way that he thinks they need to be built, and you give him the time to do that, in my mind. So no matter what happens this season, I'm okay with it. But I don't think that's what's going to happen.
We'd
love it, that's for sure. But
I feel like that's where people could flip. I think anything worse than 6-6, would be an issue, right? Because when you look at Florida's schedule, there are some unexcusable losses, right? South Florida, Eastern Washington, really Missouri's got to be in that category. South Carolina's got to be in that category, and Vanderbilt's got to be in that category. So that's five wins, right? You go into Florida State as an underdog and you lose that game. I don't think you're an underdog in a game. I don't think that's inexcusable, right? Now we'll see if they're an underdog when we get to the end of November. A lot of it will have to do with how Florida and Florida State have played so far up into that point. But those other games are inexcusable if you lose any of them. If you win those five, you got to find a way to get one more out of your last seven games, right? And that's kind of where I look at Florida State's schedule too. I think that Duquesne, Louisiana, Boston College, Syracuse, Georgia Tech, the bottom feeders in the ACC, as well as your out-of-conference stuff that's not Florida or LSU, you've got to win those games. And so if you win those five, you've got to find one or two more wins in your last seven. I think Florida has five wins guaranteed on the schedule, and it's a problem if they lose any of those five. I think Florida State has 4 to 5 wins guaranteed on the schedule, and it's a big problem if they lose any of those five. And then if you've got seven games left and you can't win two of those, I don't expect Florida State to be Clemson. I don't expect Florida to be Georgia. But you could find two more wins in there somewhere. Obviously, one of these two teams is going to get a win at the end of the year, no matter how bad they are. Somebody has to win that last one. So it's can the two teams combined find three more wins throughout the season? I think so. I think they should both get to 7-5. And I think that if either one of them can get one more win out of it, they'll feel really good about it. I think Florida fans would love to go 9-3, 10-2. If they're being honest with themselves, both of these teams would feel really good if they get to 8-4 this year.
Yeah. I mean, 8-4 is fine. That'll be fine. I think Florida State will feel better about themselves at 8-4 than Florida will feel at 8-4. But I mean, I think either is acceptable for those teams.
Yeah. I mean, both of these teams have an over-under in, again, I know that you're trumping Vegas with all of your knowledge tonight, but both of these teams have an over-under at 6.5, right? So if you win six games, to me, that's underachieving. I don't know that, athletic directors are, firing or hiring coaches based on over-unders or missing them by half a game. But essentially, if you win six games, you're underachieving. If you win seven games, you're overachieving. And if you win eight, then you're overachieving by more. If you win nine, you're even better. Vegas is telling you that Florida and Florida State are going to win between 6-7 games. There's a chance, in my mind, there's a chance both those teams enter that game with six wins. And the winner gets the seventh win. That, to me, there's a decent chance of that. Now, I pick both teams to get to seven. So, we'll see. But.
We shall see.
All right, I think we ran out of time. We'll do conference realignment another time. When
that
the
works.
Next time something big happens, we'll do that. didn't really matter. But again, I want to give a shout out to Greg Brunt, 954-589-2204, Brunt Insurance and Financial Services. Hit them up for all of your insurance needs, home, car, boat, yacht, if you're like Allie, whatever you have that needs insured, Greg will get you taken care of. Do you have anything else before we get out of here? Any shout outs, anything you want to say besides go Noles since you're cheering for us this weekend?
I am cheering for Florida State this weekend. I mean, I think, although I
edit that in.
Although I wouldn't hate if Duquesne somehow won. I just don't think that's actually going to be what happens, but I would fully enjoy it.
So I'm taking Elena, her first, well, she's been in Boca a couple of times, but her first game. So that should be fun. Going up in the Champions Club because
you got to, I mean, got to do a little kid.
Yeah. Got to get the AC and the free food and stuff. They've got cake pops in there and stuff, popcorn, and all you can eat and stuff. So, yeah, perfect. I'm expecting a weather delay. So, going to see if I can sneak the iPad in.
There you go.
So, she should have fun. Perfect. All right, we'll be back next Tuesday. We'll do it again. We'll talk about Utah. We'll talk about Florida State being the only team in the Big Three that's 1-0. And we'll talk about Utah, LSU, all the fun stuff coming in week one.
Big week next week.
Say what?
I said big week next week.
That's all
right. This is just a little. This is just a little teaser this week. The next week,
we're trying to pick up our second win next week, not just our first. Okay. But you guys will stay behind. It's fine.
Okay.
All right. We'll talk to you guys later. Thanks for hanging out. Go Noles.